with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker show on Kent Business Radio, on Channel Radio and bizradio.co.uk on this Tuesday, August the 15th, with me, Paul Andrews.
And me, Bird.
Hey.
Great.
Good. But apparently it's Morecambe and Wise, is that right?
Yeah. Two Ronnies. Four candles.
Don't get it.
Something like that. Anyway, that's right. We'll talk about that later. Anyway, yeah. We've got another guest on the phone. We've got Mr. Michael Ogilvy.
Hey.
Hello. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Oh, you're there, and that's brilliant. We had so much problem with the phone earlier, but we're all singing and dancing now. Michael, thank you so much for joining us on the Business Bunker Show. It's an absolute pleasure to talk to you this afternoon. Can you give us a bit of background to you and what you do and who you are?
Yes, I'm a really interesting guy because I help people make more money and pay less tax.
Blimey. Oh, I need you right at the moment. I got a message this morning saying I hadn't paid my corporation tax. I don't know what happened there, but there you go.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's a slap wrist. Anyway, looking at your LinkedIn profile, interestingly, you're an author and speaker and consultant, but you started off as an accountant.
I still am an accountant, but that's why I didn't dare say I'm an accountant, so all the listeners would just immediately turn off.
Switch off, yeah.
I had to be an interesting guy right from the start.
Absolutely.
I come from the Sunshine Coast, so sunny Eastbourne, just along the coast, so where the sun is always shining, has the highest average sunshine in the country, we have a sunny outlook on life, and so we always take a positive approach to life and to businesses.
Okay, hold on a minute though. Was it sunny this morning in Eastbourne?
It was chucking it down.
I was going to say,
about 7 o'clock.
I only live around the corner. I live in Tenston, which is only around the corner, and it was absolutely belting down when I left home.
I'm so used to it being sunny when everybody else is saying it's raining outside. I don't know what you're talking about. It's lovely here. Yeah.
Cool. So tell us a bit about what it is you do now, Michael.
Okay, well, I have several lives, as I say. I've got an accountancy business which I own, but I make it my business not to understand how to press the right buttons because I have a great team who do all that sort of thing.
Right.
So I spend my time actually working with businesses and looking at whatever my team produce and then talking with the owners and saying, well, okay, why is that? If it's gone well, how's it gone well so I can learn from them? If it hasn't gone well, what can we do differently? And so my life is really interesting because there's always something new around the corner every day.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm a businessman myself. I have 8 or 9 businesses. I don't always remember how many I've got. I lose count. I set great store behind my professional support people, my law firms and accountants and people that I work with. And some time ago, I actually tweeted that I was off to see my accountants. And somebody replied and went, oh, that's a shame. I went, why? And they went, well, you know, it's like being called to the headmaster's office. And I went, no, absolutely it isn't. I've always used my accountants as real fountains of knowledge and wisdom and help in terms of getting me to think of it. You know, Bird's looking at me all funny now, as if I do things like that. No, but I do, because I have a relationship with my accountant where we are chalk and cheese. And basically, she looks at me and goes, you can't do that, Paul. I go, really? Can I? No, you can't do that. And I find that really useful.
Yeah, no, I think there's accountants and there's accountants. Yeah. So there's the gatekeeper accountant that tells you what you can't do, you know, with the lawyer in them.
Yeah.
I can do that, but it's not the bit that I enjoy, so I leave that to my team and say, this is the tax. I much rather plan and say, right, okay, what are we trying to do? How do you get more life into your life? And how can you earn enough to be able to afford that life that you want? And what I find is most people are not asking themselves the right questions, so they don't get the right answers. So I'll give you an example. I went into a carpet fitting business the other day, totally new to me. One of my team took me in. We talked about the management accounts, and I just thought, these figures are appalling. Mm. And he was looking at the figures and said, well, it's 10% better than last year. And I said, oh, if that's if that's what makes you happy, then fine. But he looked at me and said, why? And I said, well, I would expect that for all the grief that you take and all the risk you take, you must be expecting to earn at least 50 to 75,000 for your trouble. So what do we have to do to get you there? And he suddenly sat up and saying, oh, crumbs. I'm not being asked that sort of question before. I said, well, that's a simple thing. If you don't ask yourself the right questions, you won't get the right answers. So all I try and do is just, as you say, use the power of experience to, there's not necessarily a right answer. It's not a simple answer. You know, sometimes it can be complicated, but at least you give yourself a chance by thinking differently.
Absolutely. Do you find, Michael, in general, that not enough people actually pay attention to the basics of what they're doing? You know, they have a business, but they don't really look at whether it's a viable business or whether it's the best thing to do, or, you know, whether, as you say, their profit margins are good enough or anything like that. Do you find a lot of that?
Absolutely. They just exist. They get trapped into, I think it was Gerber called it, the tyranny of routine. So they just get trapped into doing it. And they forget to sort of stick their head above the parapet and look to see what they're doing and why they're doing it. And so pricing is a great example. So many just get trapped into allowing themselves to become commodities.
Yeah.
And their business very, very quickly becomes really mediocre. And, you know, we all know that the enemy of greatness is mediocrity. And so I've tried to create a little campaign, sort of a crusade against mediocrity, just to try and get people who are prepared to do something different, to stand out from the crowd, to do something which might embrace customer service, it might embrace improving their service or their product, but allowing themselves to do something different that will allow them to charge more. Because everybody's prepared, nobody wants to pay any more than they need to, but always prepared to pay more if they feel they can get value.
Absolutely, absolutely. And do you find, I mean, especially in this day and age, I think it's always been true, but in this day and age, you know, change happens so much more quickly. And there are so many more impacts, it seems to me, that innovation is now such a vital part of anything that anybody does that you really can't afford to overlook it.
Absolutely. But sometimes innovation, people will get frightened of the word, but innovation can be some of the most simple things. And I always try to get back down to basics and say, okay, people like to deal with people. So businesses don't want to deal with businesses, they want to deal with people. So let's, if we can break that down, now let's look at our people contacts and see what can we do differently. And it just can be the smallest things that matter, whether it's the way your telephone is answered, the how quickly you return calls, etc., etc., that just helps you stand out. And it then becomes part of the culture that then is spread within the team, and you suddenly find one thing leads to another. And it doesn't have to be something really clever where you've had to invest a lot of money. It's just about a culture or an attitude to do things different or better.
Absolutely. No, you're absolutely right. Now, we're going to be hearing from you over this side of the border in Kent. they're allowing you in. I hope you got your passport and everything. You're going to be one of the keynote speakers at the Grow Kent conference in November,
That's right.
In Ashford at the Ashford International Hotel. So what are you going to be talking to us about there, Michael?
So I'm going to be talking about similar to what we've just been saying. So I'm trying to say, well, what's so special about you? So what are the areas that we can look to help you? So I ask people, what's stunning about them? So what is your power to stun? So I'll involve, for example, a pineapple salesman in Barbados as a story, which is, a lot of people would have heard me talk about it, but it's still very relevant. I talk around the world about it. How one man on the beach can actually get $200 for a pineapple.
Wow.
And I say, so when people tell me that it's all about price, wherever I speak, in the Middle East is worse, you know, they say it's all about price and it's all about discounts. And I say, it's rubbish. It's all about what you choose to allow it to be about price.
Right, you got me now. You really got me now. I now
well,
need to
you,
find out
you
how...
Will have to, you will have to come along and listen.
He's clever, isn't he? Yep. He is clever. How to find out to sell a pineapple for 200 quid. I really want to know that, so I'm going to be there.
$200, American dollars, and I actually, it's funny enough, at the end, I always said, share the story. I said, well, does anybody ever buy pineapples for you from $200? And he said, yeah. And I said, what, Americans? He said, yes. I said, British? No way, you're far too tight. So, but he managed to get $20 out of me,
wow.
20 American dollars. And so I just engaged the audience with that particular story and a couple of other stories just to try and make the point. It's all about engagement with people that makes the difference to help you stand out and no longer have that mediocrity badge about you and your business.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we're really looking forward to hearing from you at the event, Michael. I'm chairing the day, so I will definitely be there. I think everybody else is going to be there as well. They're normally very good events, very well attended, so we're all looking forward to hearing from you at that event. In the meantime, before you come over in November, how can people find out more about you? Do you have a website and social media accounts?
Yes, I have a website. I mean, that's just quite simply www.mikeogilvie.com. That's O-G-I-L-V-I-E, so that's nice and easy. And I'm the same Mike Ogilvie on LinkedIn and on Twitter, Mike Ogilvie. But I've also got YouTube, The Mike Ogilvie.
Wow.
So, but what is interesting, I've also got a couple of Facebook pages. So apart from my Mike Ogilvie page, I've also got a Be Mad, Not Sad page, which I encourage people to look at to recognize people who are standing out, you know, because quite often these individuals are not recognized. So I've got some interesting stories that I share on there. That's a BMAD, Magnificent and Dazzling, not SAD, Satisfactory and Dull, like so many other people. So I just use that Facebook to encourage people to just to recognize. And at the moment, I'm posting most of the things, but it's one or two people will go and post stuff on there, so whether it's from UK or abroad. But it's just gives a feel for the sort of things that I'm trying to do.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I'm going to have a look at that later on. Mike, thank you so much for joining us.
They've come to get me.
They've come to get you. Yeah. They've had enough of that. Yeah. $200 for a pineapple, you're nicked. Mike,
I look forward to coming to meet you over in Ashford. So looking forward to it.
Yeah, it's going to be a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon, Mike. It was good to hear from you. And we look forward to seeing you at the Grow Kent event on the 30th of November at the Ashford International Hotel. Have a fantastic afternoon in sunny Eastbourne.
Thanks very much, and the same to you.
Cheers now.
Bye for now. Bye.
So, Mike Ogilvie there. If you want to follow up on his website, there is a link on the Kent Business Radio website to Mike's website, but check out his Facebook pages and his Twitter handle as well. And come along and hear how to get 200. Oh, he's got me. He's got me with that story, hasn't he?
I know Mike
Have you heard it?
From
yeah.
PSA.
Yeah.
Professional Speaking Association. I've heard it a few times,
right.
And it's a really interesting. He's a great guy. He's got right. He just keeps you captivated in his hands till the end.
Don't spoil the answer.
No spoiler alert.
Yeah. All right. No, I won't.
Cool. I'll tell you what. We're going to have a quick chat with Ish now.
Hello.
Yeah, that'd be good.
Ishmael has joined us. Ishmael is in the final year of a journalism degree at the University of Kent, based on the Medway campus. He's a Medway man.
Yep, I
am. Mostly. Having been born in Pakistan, but lived in Medway nearly all of his life with his family. But he's a journalism student, and he's also been involved just recently with TV on KMTV as an intern. He's done some stuff with Sky, and he does a radio show, a sports show on CSR, the lovely Canterbury community radio station. And Ish has popped in today just to meet us here on Channel Radio and have a look around the studio. And so I've blagged him into talking to us, which is really good, isn't it? So Ish, welcome.
Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm very honoured to be here. I wasn't expecting necessarily to be on air, but...
No, I know he wasn't. I went, you'll do.
There's no better experience than this, so I thank you for that.
No, it's an absolute pleasure.
It's been educational, I'll say, is the word that I'll use today.
He's good, isn't he? He's good, isn't he? That was nice. That was nicely put.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I say that because, admittedly, I'm not... business savvy. Obviously that's not really my focus,
where you're from,
and you know, I'm a bit naive on the business subject, but it's been interesting to discuss or to hear, and especially from obviously people calling in who are in that world and yourselves, and it's been nice to get an understanding. And obviously you're talking earlier about digital marketing and the internet being this big scary place effectively, and I think it's fair to point out that for SMEs that's an area which can be quite a frightening concept.
Yeah, sure.
Especially those starting up.
And for you, Ish, is it a scary place to be, because you've had it all your life?
Well, I suppose I'm in the digital generation, so yeah. I guess it isn't necessarily, because I have grown accustomed since I was very little. So
yeah, but everybody has blind spots.
That's true.
So you don't do LinkedIn, for example.
Well, yeah, exactly. LinkedIn, I will get on there. Don't worry.
You will. But what I'm saying is that the digital world is such a vast, complex and interconnected world.
Yeah.
Not everybody can do everything.
Absolutely.
And people specialize.
It's constantly evolving, and that's the tricky part. Because how are you supposed to manage, for, you know, anyone in particular? How can you manage? How do you stay up to date with everything when it's constantly changing?
That's
the big challenge.
And it's interesting for someone like you. You're doing a degree in journalism. Yeah. You have an interest in the media. Presumably, when you graduate with your first, which you will.
Yes.
You're going to look for roles in the media. But the media is under intense pressure to change, especially the old print media. It's really, you know, crumbling before our very eyes.
The business model of it. Traditional business model.
It's gone. Paper-based advertising is dead in the water. Yeah. It's absolutely dead in the water. And so far, nobody's really come up with a successful monetary model to replace that. However, the skills of journalism, of communication, are now more in demand than ever. It just in very different ways, because there's over a trillion websites, even though 90% of us aren't on the web yet. That's scary, isn't it? And there's over a trillion websites, and all of them need content. So, you know, for me, what you're doing has kind of nailed it, but it's really interesting to see where your career will take you in the coming years. Have you any thoughts or feelings about that?
Well, I completely agree with you. You're looking at, in print in particular, the modern newsroom is so much smaller than it was. Mm-hmm. And that's because of the high demands that are put on these workplaces. The staff size has shrunk.
Absolutely. And that is one of the excuses. I was having a rant before we were on air about fake news.
Yes.
And the fact that it isn't really fake. What it is, it's journalism. People just chuck stuff out without researching. And Ish has just nailed one of the major issues, is that there's no one working in a newsroom anymore to check it out. Mm. Yeah, that's one of the big problems. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. Well, going, you know, focusing on print, for example, we know historically that it's on the decline in terms of circulation. And often that is because, obviously, we've evolved now into a more digital space.
Mm.
So there's, you know, the demands continue to increase. And it's interesting, you look at the likes of The Guardian now, who have a paywall to an extent. It's voluntary. You have to pay monthly. You look at the likes of The Times.
Yeah.
And it's a slow process for them. Yeah. Trying to get online now.
Mm.
And it's very challenging, very challenging.
Although what's really interesting is that publishing in the written form of words, so books, so thank goodness for me, is that's on the up again. So book purchases are on the up.
Do you mean physical books or just
physical books? Yeah. Even Kindle isn't, you know, we thought that would actually get rid of the book. Mm. It isn't. We get so many people saying to me, especially now, I've got a real demand. They're like, Bird, when's your next book coming out? When's your next book coming out?
It's interesting, isn't it?
I was going to say about magazines as well. Yeah. So Ishmael was talking
about another area, yeah.
Print, you know, newspapers. Yes, they are struggling. But actually, there's a long tail of magazines, specialist magazines, geographically focused magazines.
Carp World.
Well, yes, but
I say that there's
a long tail of very interested, passionate people with
interested. No. I say that we haven't got much time to talk about this, and I didn't intend to talk about it. But a while back, I was involved with some software for that kind of industry, and one of the things that we looked at was the difference between news media and magazine media. And magazine media is still very, very strong.
Yes,
and there are magazines out there. Cart World is one of them, which has a massive subscription base of people that have pictures of fish. If you're not into it, it's meaningless, but it is a big magazine. And even though they have online versions of it, the subscription to the physical magazine is still there and growing and bigger and bigger and bigger. So, you know, and there are lots of specialist magazines like that.
Yes,
but it's a long tail. You're right. It was always a long tail before the concept of the long tail was ever invented.
That's right.
Yeah.
Ish, where do you see journalism? Where do you see, because you must talk about this in your course, on your degree. What do you see as a future?
Well,
That's a big question.
It is a very big question.
You know me.
Yeah. It's all right. We've
life, the universe, and everything.
We've got 5 minutes. We got 5 minutes ish. So you can solve the world's problems in one go there.
Again, another thing that you did not prepare me to do. Anyway, but no, I think it is going to be digital. Digital is the way now. Yeah. I think, fortunately, print is a medium which is...
But for you, I mean, for you, will you work for somebody? Will you literally be freelance now? What do you see your future in business?
Yeah. I think I'd like to be in broadcast.
Yeah.
I don't want to limit my options for anyone who's listening, but I've certainly become passionate for broadcast now, and that's
radio or media as in
radio, TV. Those are two areas which I'm particularly enjoying at the moment, and you know, learning fondly about. That's obviously two areas, TV especially, which, you know, generates massive amounts of people to watch, and it's still growing. They're looking at the number of channels, looking at local TV stations that are on the rise as well. And obviously, I've been working with Came TV, who just launched last month. And that's obviously a very privileged position I get. And I look forward to that. And I continue to work
and
in that
know that. And we know that businesses need to be media businesses. We need to be having a face to our businesses. And for some reason, people aren't happy to stand in front of the camera.
I call it the very un-British art of self-promotion.
Yeah, yeah, it's really interesting.
Absolutely.
Very interesting.
Ish, we could talk to you forever about this, but we wish you much success in your future career.
Thank you.
We're going to invite you back on a very frequent basis to do all kinds of things,
which will
be lovely.
Yeah.
What I'd like to do now, though, who's been sitting here patiently for over an hour and a half, is to introduce our studio guest, Mr. Mark Goldfinch. Mark, welcome to the Business Bunker Show.
Thank you very much. Lovely to be here. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Bert.
Yeah. It's great to have you here. I want to start... You've kind of recently launched your new business. You have a really fascinating background, and we got lots of things we could talk about. I want to start off, though, by talking about your latest thing, because it's a very interesting thing you've done. Drive Your Marketing.
Yes. Yeah. It depends on your perspective. It's called Drive Your Marketing. Drive Your Marketing is about a year old in its present form. Mm. It's had a couple of iterations in the past, as most businesses do, and
absolutely.
When they start off. You've got to see what the market actually wants. Mm. And Drive Your Marketing is it's a way for businesses to organise, prioritise, plan their marketing. Mm. So it's an organising system that I've developed from 30 years of communications experience from around the world. Mm-hmm. Not just digital, but the totality of all the marketing activities that a business can do. So businesses quite often... this has been a theme during this show so far, actually, that you know, businesses are just bamboozled and baffled, and there are an awful lot of marketing activities that businesses can do.
That's a good description of this show, isn't it? Bamboozled and baffled.
Hashtag.
Exactly.
And as your guests, you know, have so eloquently said before, there's an awful lot of people out there who don't think they have the money. You know, I've been quoted minimum spend £1,000 a month. To do what? You know, there wasn't transparent at all. You know, what you would get for the £1,000 a month before you'd even have a conversation.
Yeah.
So what I've created is actually designed to be efficient, organisation and transparent.
Okay. So let's kind of dissect that a little bit. Yeah. You've got you've got a dashboard, and you've also we've talked about the concept of having a marketing MOT.
Yeah. Yeah.
So let's look at those two things.
Well, the dashboard is what underpins everything. Yeah. So it's four stages: own, plan, act, link. Mm. Opal, own, plan, act, link.
Did you get it? Did you see what he did there?
Opal. Yeah. And underneath that, so those are the four stages, and then there are 12 modules.
Right.
And what I strongly, passionately believe in is that businesses need to know the digital infrastructure, the marketing infrastructure that they have, and then own it. Mm. So they need to understand it so that they can actually then explain it to them, you know, they understand themselves. But they can also have better relationships with their marketing partners.
Mm. It's interesting, isn't it? Especially with smaller businesses, and not even new ones, some that have been well established, that a lot of businesses don't actually really get marketing.
Well, the thing is, marketing covers... It's one word that covers so many activities.
Yeah.
You know, marketing is everything from marketing and PR, you know, advertising. Mm. You know, I use marketing. I've done lots of communications activities in the past. I've done ebooks, I've published books, I've been a published author, I've taught people how to present, I've done media analysis and narrative, I've created sort of WordPress sites in the past for myself and for clients, and done social media and done all that planning, so you know, a lot of strategic communications. So I use the word marketing because people sort of get marketing.
Yeah.
But actually it covers, the reason that people are confused is actually because there are so many, marketing covers so many activities.
It does, but also I tend to find that a lot of people think that marketing is just like a bit of advertising.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they go, I can't afford to advertise. And you go, it's a lot more than just whether or not you advertise. Marketing is a very, for me, it is the core fundamental activity of any business. If you're not going to market, then you're not in business.
Effectively, it's explaining yourself, your products, your services, and your brand to potential customers.
It was really interesting. 150 years ago, I was head of technology at Citibank. And so that's an internal function, yeah, just supporting technology within the bank. Yeah. So all of our users, we had users in those days, were internal people. And I started a marketing department.
Oh, wow.
In IT. And everybody went, what are you doing? I went, marketing. And they went, what on earth's marketing got to do with you? You're IT. And I went, no, but I'm marketing my IT department. And they went, but nobody buys it. You just get a budget. And I, no, but I'm not trying to sell you anything. What I'm trying to do is explain what we do and how we do it and why we do it and why you're wrong, basically.
Yeah, break down the mystique. And it's all part of corporate communications.
Absolutely, yeah. So you've got this template, this dashboard, this set of...
four stages, own plan, act link, and then the 12 modules that breaks down into. And then a marketing MOT... I start all my clients on a marketing MOT. Whether they're 25 years old clients startup clients, any stage of the business, from the micro businesses that you mentioned right the way through to functioning businesses that really understand what they're doing, but they're going through a generational change.
Sure.
They want to revamp their approach to marketing.
There's a lot of that about as well.
And it's effectively 50 questions. So they then start, this process helps them start creating, well, it's actually a marketing strategy. I don't use the word strategy if I can help it. It's one of those words that really puts people off.
Yeah, sure.
But basically, look, every business needs a plan, a communications plan. There are combinations of these marketing activities that really work. You can form a pathway through these different activities towards successful and efficient marketing. And you don't have to spend a lot of money to do that, as your first guest was pointing out.
Yeah.
And the marketing MOT is designed to do that. So basically it's five stages, five one-hour conversations on Skype or and 50 questions. And at the end, they have their marketing plan. It's not mine, it's theirs.
Sure. It's interesting, isn't it? We've discussed with a couple of people on the show today while we're talking to them, and it's still something that I see far too much and still don't understand why we get lost in it. But people don't think through what they're doing. So often I see people just not thinking through what they're doing at a basic level. And a lot of what you're saying to me is you've got a bunch of questions here that is making people stop and think about what they're doing. And that is just so important.
Do you own and why?
Yeah.
What do you want to plan?
Yeah.
How are you going to act on the plan that you're creating? Yeah. And then how do you link everything? So how do you link to the world?
Yeah.
So the social media, from my perspective, comes in the 12th of my 12 modules. It comes last because you can't sustain and have consistent social media communications on LinkedIn, on Twitter, unless you have something to say, unless you're clear about that, you can do that day in, day out.
Or, you know, the alternative, and you're not saying this, I'm saying this, I see too many businesses that do communicate content on social media, and you go,
but there is no content.
There is no.
How is that relevant to your business?
Yeah.
Whose attention are you trying to attract with that?
Yeah, what are you trying to say to whom? And what are you trying to sell me? I don't understand. Yeah. Because they don't know themselves. You know, they've got a great social media strategy, but they've got no business strategy behind it. And it was interesting talking to Mike as well. And I don't know what your feelings on this are, Mark. And Mike was talking about pricing and stuff like that. And that's something that you see an awful lot is people get stuck in a rut with this kind of thing. They go, Jobs in Kent, my primary business, the amount of people that came along and went, I'm going to compete with you. And you go, really, how are you going to do that? I'm going to charge half what you charge. And you go, yeah, go on then. You know, they just don't think it through. They just think that everything's based on price. And, you know, all you've got to do is charge £1 less than you and all the customers will come over there. You know, that's not so.
No, it's not so at all. And I think it's a false economy to think that you can do something on £150 a day and expect to survive as a business or even grow as a business. Yeah. You know, that's one of the basic questions that every entrepreneur, small business owner needs to really ask themselves.
Absolutely. And of course, especially with early stage businesses, they're so desperate for income that they'll take income from anything.
And also they're quite apologetic and maybe they haven't actually worked out what the competitors are charging or why.
Yeah.
And then they haven't quite worked out their own pricing structure.
Absolutely. But what I find is that even once they're up and running successfully, nobody ever questions what they're doing and the veracity of what they're doing. And what I mean by that is that sometimes you can end up with customers that actually cost you money.
Yes.
Yeah. And you go, hold on a minute. You know, why are you doing that? Yeah. Why don't you sack them?
Well, it's interesting because maybe I shouldn't say this out loud, but I have actually fired clients in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, me too.
It is actually one of the most satisfying things of being in business, you know, as opposed to being an employee.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to necessarily work with clients who are insisting on underpaying you, don't appreciate you enough to pay you the going rate or, you know, the rate that you really need to do to make a profit.
Business is transactional, not just in money.
Yeah.
It's transactional in wisdom. It's transactional in communication. It's relational. Mm. So it has to have that. If you're not getting that from the client, then you teach them.
There used to be an aphorism. Back in the day, this is how old I am. There used to be an aphorism.
150 years.
Exactly. There used to be an aphorism in IT, with technical consultants. Yeah. There's a story about a computer that was going wrong, and they called a consultant who charged 500 quid. And he came in and he got a rubber mallet out of his bag and he banged the memory store and the computer started working again and he sent the bill for 500 quid.
Yeah.
And I went, that's outrageous, 500 quid for banging the computer. He went, no, it's £1 for banging the computer and £499 for knowing where to bang it.
Yes. Yeah. Well, that's precisely it. You're paying for a lifetime. Well, you know, most people in business, they have a lifetime of specialist experience and that's why they're in business. You know, they're
absolutely
a specialist in their area.
Absolutely. And talking about a lifetime of experience, Mr. Goldfinch, you are a man that has had a couple of lifetimes of experience.
A few adventures.
Really.
Yeah, a few adventures along the way.
Just give us a bit of an overview of some of the things you've been up to.
It actually all started just around the up the road from here.
Really?
I joined the Army Intelligence Corps in 1986.
Right.
And that was at Templar Barracks.
Right, just around the corner.
Yeah, yeah. Literally, which is now housing estates now.
Yeah.
And the high-speed rail line runs through some of it.
Yeah.
But that's where it all started in 1986. Yeah. So I joined as an Arabic linguist.
Right, okay.
Hold
on.
Yeah.
Let's not skate over some of this. Yeah.
Because it's just,
as you do, I just happened to have acquired some Arabic somewhere, so I joined the intelligence services and became James Bond.
Far from it. Although he was from St. Margaret's, so
Arabic. What made you learn Arabic? How did you come across why?
I was interested. I've always been interested in languages at school. I'm passionate about young people, especially knowing languages.
Yeah.
You know, really, everybody should learn a language.
Yeah.
And there are more.
I'm working
European
on English
languages
at the moment.
You're doing very well. I'm passionate about languages. Did languages at school, and I didn't really want to do European languages. I wanted to do something a bit different. So Arabic was on offer.
Right.
It was Arabic or Russian. So I ended up doing Arabic.
Okay.
And never look back, basically. Right. So it's my time in the army coincided with the Gulf War.
Right.
I didn't go out, but I was in the army at the time, but I wasn't there. I went to university afterwards, studied Arabic.
What, while you were in the army?
No, I left the army and then went to university and studied and lived in Egypt for a few years.
Right.
And really, in my 20s, I wasn't really in the UK at all.
Right, okay.
So, having been born and bred in Deal, where I, my hometown, which I love, and still there now. So,
but you ended up doing stuff in Iraq.
Yes. So via a few twists and turns, you know, life is full of
adventures
in life. Yes, absolutely. Because I'd done Arabic, I thought, let's leave aside the politics of the intervention in Iraq. You know, I could go on all day. I could go on for weeks about it. Yeah. So effectively, I went out as I thought, well, use the skills I've had to try and make things a bit better.
Right.
So there was an opening for civilian interpreters for the British forces in southern Iraq. Mm. So I went out and was an Arabic interpreter. It was a bit rusty when I started, but you soon learn on the job. So I did that for a year. Right. It gradually got more and more dangerous. Mm. And I ran a team of local translators in Basra. Left there, and then I had 3.5 years in outside Baghdad as an Arabic media analyst. Ended up as a civilian, you know, ended up as chief political analyst, and I was briefing senior American officers in the situation. I was basically watching
So you're watching local media,
yeah,
in Arabic.
Yeah, the Iraqi and pan Arab, you know, so the ones based in the Gulf,
and then talking to allied troops on the ground about what's going on.
We had to do a daily report, which was like a newspaper.
Right.
So it was actually in English, and that was disseminated quite widely.
Right.
We had to be extremely accurate. Cool. So what is this politician saying? Who is this? Where is this? And which language are they using? So it was absolutely fascinating. You know, are they using this word in Arabic, or are they using this word in Arabic? You know, it's very...
And would the outcome have a massive... difference?
Well, it betrays an attitude. So how are their attitudes changing? How are people's attitudes changing? Or are they trying to incite violence? Or are they trying to come more to the peaceful track? You know, so it's
interesting.
It's interesting what you say about the use of different words in a language as well.
Absolutely.
It reminded me of a really obscure argument I came across a couple of years ago. In the Bible, there's a phrase that says it's easier for a rich man to pass through the eye of a needle, and it turned out that it doesn't say that remotely. It was a piece of misinterpretation, and I think they determined that what it actually said was it's easier for a rope to pass through the eye of a needle.
It's interesting because I did a module at university when I was studying Arabic, and it was the Old Testament,
right?
In Hebrew,
right.
And there was mistranslations from Hebrew into Greek, then into Latin, and then into English. Yeah. It's just transmission problems.
Send 3 and 4 pence, we're going to a dance. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
that's another aphorism. Yeah, send reinforcements, we're going to advance. Ended up with send 3 and 4 pence, we're going to a dance.
Oh yes, the Chinese whispers thing.
Yeah, fascinating stuff. Also, you have a lifelong interest in trains.
Railway systems. You know, I like railway systems. My having been in Kent, having been born and raised in Deal, I've basically always travelled up to London and beyond, and it's always been by train. Right. Still is now, in fact.
And you've also written a book.
Yeah, Stealing the Sand. 15, well, that's very old. You know, 15, 16 years ago, I wrote the history of Egypt and its railways.
Right.
So it's called Stealing the Sand. It was the only book. What I found was I lived in Egypt for 2.5 years. I travelled from the Mediterranean coast, Alexandria, through Cairo, up the Nile Valley to the Sudanese border, by train. I knew pretty much everywhere. It's all built by the British in the 1870s. And when I came back, I had this wealth of knowledge.
Right.
And there was no book on the subject. And people would say that's probably a good thing, that there's no book on the subject. But
that's a J.R. Hartley type thing, isn't it?
But it's the long tail we were talking about earlier. It's the niche. I still get questions.
Right.
You know, 15 years later.
I bet.
I had a question just before Easter, because this is on my personal website, and it's still an e-book on my personal website. But it just shows the importance of creating.
Mm.
So this book I created 15 years ago, I still get asked questions.
Absolutely.
About it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I gave a talk at the Egyptian embassy way back in, whatever it was, 2004, about it. And the question I had before Easter was, did Egyptian steam locomotives run on mummies? just out of the blue, you know, on a Tuesday morning, you get an, you know, an email.
As you would.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So and do they?
No. No. And I had a, you know, it's so the importance is to create. You know, this is really, you know, the what I'm passionate about, encouraging businesses to do. And this is, again, the theme of today's show, as it seems, you know, with Ish here in journalism. It's all about creating, but creating content of interest and value to the people that you would like as customers and to respect you.
And talking about that, one of the things that we're trying to get you to do, Mark, is to tell some of your stories at the Business Diaries.
Oh, Business Diaries. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Because Business Diaries is something run by Lisa Settle. It's a completely different type of networking thing where four or five people come along and tell stories from their life. It's stories related to business, but it's not about business and it's not about selling. They're personal stories. I've done one of the stories and I've been to all of the events and listened to all of the stories so far. And there's just a whole range of different things, you know, emotional stuff, all kinds of stuff.
Everybody has a story.
Yeah.
You know, basically, you know, I've talked about some exotic places and all this. But effectively, everybody has a story.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it can be very sad. You know, it can be joyous. But when you share it, I'm very passionate about just encouraging people to have a few anecdotes in reserve that they've polished and they've burnished and they know. So they're confident, you know, young people especially. So looking at Ishmael. No, looking at Paul and as well, I say hastily.
I'm rude. I'm not going to say anything.
But passionate about everybody should have a little repertoire, one or two or three anecdotes that they can launch into a space in a gap in a conversation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mark, we could talk about this forever. Sadly, we're running out of time. Give us a shout for your website, Drive My Marketing, so that people can find out more about what you do and engage with you on your MOT and dashboard.
Yeah. So it's driveyourmarketing.co.uk. People can follow me on Twitter, so it's at Drive Your Mark.
Fantastic.
Yeah, see what I did there. And there's a daily marketing course. It's a marketing question that people can get for 5 minutes and just consider for their business for 5 minutes every day. So that's hashtag Opal365. That's it, I think.
Cool. So have a look for the hashtag Opal, O-P-A-L-365. Follow Mark on a Twitter, Drive Your Mark.
It's also my personal website. If people are interested
in some of the
old stories and whatever it is.
Mummy burning trains.
Some of the shows I scripted for Rocky TV back in the day. That's goldfinchdigital.co.uk.
Goldfinchdigital.co.uk. Check it all out. Mark, thank you so much.
Fascinating. It's been a pleasure. Thank
you. We're going to get you back and talk more about this.
Yeah,
I know. It's
amazing.
Just so much stuff. But we're fast running out of time. I've got loads of tweets to read out. We've got a few emails. I've got a tweet here from the Brenchley Bull.
Okay.
It's a really lovely pub in Brenchley. That's over near Tunbridge Wells, so you won't know it, Bird. Brenchley Bull.
I'm going to get the councillors from Tunbridge Wells giving me some grief, aren't I?
They said, Vanilla Web, we'd love a shout out on your Tuesday Business Bunker show. Ta very much. Well, Brenchley Bull, you've been shouted out. Give them a follow on Twitter. It's Bull at Brenchley is their Twitter handle. Do that.
JCB, hello, how are you? We would love a shout out on the Business Bunker show today about at Make Noise giveaway. So there you go, there's your shout out. I think they've donated a car.
They've donated a car, haven't they?
Yeah.
JCB have donated a car to this particular charity, Make a Noise, which is coordinated a number
at
of charities.
@_UK is one of the charities. So yeah, go check them out. Cybercrime event. This is massive at the minute. Sponsored by Barclays and Kent Police. What do you know about GDPR and cybersecurity? If your answer to the subject title is vague, then perhaps you should attend this informative seminar covering all aspects of cybercrime. So Amy Payne, Cybercrime Protect Officer in Kent Police, and Lewis Hunt from Barclays Digital Eagles. Super important. You need to know. Friday the 1st of September, 8:30 till 12:30 in the afternoon. And that's Kent Invicta Chambers at Ashford Business Point. Go check them out.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Linda Cloak. She says, Vanilla Web Business Bunker. Hi, Paul. Please, can we have a shout out for men? She needs men at Click Events UK. That's a Twitter handle. They've got a Riverside Barbecue at the Orchard, the Thai Orchid ME16. This Saturday, the 19th, there's loads of lovely ladies and no men.
Anyway, also, somebody's been asking about when are we starting our dating show?
Yes, that's due to start in late September.
Ah, Nice.
Is that right?
Yes, fine. Could... You're waiting for my answers, Fred.
No.
See what he does, Ish. This isn't how to behave on live radio.
Is it not?
No. Makes it more interesting.
All right. Do you want to come on my show or not? Yeah. Right, and my last one, is Swanley. Notice, Ish. Look how long this is. Thank you.
I see.
But you've done well today. Okay, so we've got Swanley, third Wednesday networking, 20th of September, 10:30 till 12, the Olympic Swanley. It's the Seven Oaks and District Chamber of Commerce. Here we go. Telephone number 01732 455188.
Can I have a Business Bunker shout out for the Fraud Management Resource Centre, helping organisations fight fraud. Enjoying the show. That's from Neil at FMRC, and that's FMRC underscore inquiries, their Twitter handle, the Fraud Management Resource Centre. Here, I've got an email. Women in Business Lunch at Brands Hatch Place. That's a lovely place as well, the hotel. 21st of September. You'll hear a wide range of speakers covering all areas of business who not only share their stories and experiences, but give an insight into what has worked for them and what didn't work for them.
Who is speaking?
And more importantly, what you can take away and apply in your business. You'll never guess who's speaking, Bird.
I know. I just think these are the best speakers I've ever heard in my life.
Well, what is
global.
That?
Global.
There's Ali Harold.
Yeah, well, there you go.
At Ali, A-L-Y, Harold, H-A-R-R-O-L-D.
Yeah.
And Bird on a Bike.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
So get along to hear Ali and Bird on a Bike. Yeah, lovely about, Bird, Sarah Ann Lucas.
I've got some new stuff to really share because obviously I'm huge in creation mode at the minute because I'm writing my book, my next book. And when you're in that space of creating, all of a sudden it's like more and more comes to you.
It's very true.
Yeah.
Yes.
So content creation is massive. I'm in overload. So I'm overflowing. So I'll be sharing loads of stuff about foundation of failure. That's got you, isn't it?
The foundation of failure.
Yeah, we all build.
I'm quite good at that. I'm quite good at failure.
Don't we? It's true. Yeah. Everybody's on, oh my gosh, you grow from your your failures and everything. Well, okay, let's build a foundation of it then.
Yeah.
It stumped you, isn't it?
No.
I'm quite an intelligent woman,
it's a good thing.
Yeah.
You're saying
amazing
a foundation of failure. Yes.
It's an incredible thing.
Embrace your failure, learn from them, and then move on.
It's the only thing we ever grow from.
Yeah.
Many years ago, I was lucky enough to speak on the same platform as a chap called Tom Peters. Tom wrote a book called In Search of Excellence, and he wrote it in 1984, and it was the first ever business book that reached number one on the New York Times bestseller list ever, and he became very well known as a business speaker, and I was lucky enough to speak on the same platform as him at the QE2 Centre in Victoria, and there was a huge bunch of big corporate executives there, and Tom was waffling away on stage, and somebody said something about failure, and he turned on him, and he pointed at him, he said, listen, he said, if you haven't been fired by the time you're 30, you just ain't trying hard enough.
Yeah. And this is it, isn't it? You know, so it's very funny. Have you seen what Supply My Business have sent you through?
No, go on.
Okay, so Supply My Business, how awesome is this? Get yourself on Twitter and see it. It's at Vanilla Web, hashtag BBunker. Stop carping on about the state of British media. And they've got this massive carp. We have a free press, the envy of the world.
Thank you, Martin.
Yes. Thanks, Martin.
Thank you for that. Well, look, we've kind of reached the end of another show.
Brilliant.
To be honest, I want to say a massive thank you to everybody that took part in today's show, to my gorgeous co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike,
thank
Sarah Ann
much.
Lucas. We were joined randomly without him expecting it, but didn't he do well?
He's brilliant.
He was like a fish to water. We're back to carp. He was like a fish in water, wasn't he?
Niche marketing.
Yeah, yeah.
Too kind.
Yeah, Ishmael. Ishmael, our journalism student, do stay tuned to him because he's going to be big, isn't he? He's going to be big in the media scene. Mm. So thank you so much for that. A huge thank you to Anne Van Vu from UNI for joining us on the phone, and also to Mike Ogilvy. And a massive thank you to Mr. Mark Goldfinch here in the studio who joined in with us today.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
It's an absolute pleasure. Thank you, all of you. You can find out about all of them by going to kentbusinessradio.co.uk and checking out the website. All the links to their websites are on that website, so you can find out more about today's show and the people that were on it. Big thank you to today's show sponsors, Creative Motion and Career Bid. And just to let you know what's coming up later on Channel Radio, at 4 o'clock we have the lovely Natalie Beneig with a Kent Creative live show looking at the arts and culture scene in Kent. That's followed at 5 o'clock by Mr. Craig Avery, the man with the stripy socks, the ladies' favourite, with 2 hours of music and celebrity interviews. That's from 5 till 7. At 7 o'clock, we're joined by Mr. Joey Whaler with the Rockabilly Show. At 9 o'clock, I was Lord Kitchener's valet, hits from 1967. And as always, on a Tuesday, we finish off with...
It's Club Culture with Boy George.
One, two, three, get down!
Cool drum beat at the squidgy bass, I give you Vanilla Ace, and it rhymes. That means I'm right on time. Welcome to Club Culture, where I control my very own dance universe. 1 hour or more of grooving delectables for your disco pleasure. I'm Boy George.
It's 1 hour of delectable, delicious dance music. It's Club Culture with Boy George on Channel Radio.
So as always, on a Tuesday night, we finish off at 10 o'clock with the wonderful Mr. Boy George with the Club Culture Show. Thank you so much for listening to The Bunker Show. Do stay tuned to Channel Radio and all the fabulous things that we have coming up later. We'll be back with another show and another great lineup of guests next week. In the interim, don't forget that you can tweet us using the hashtag BBunker. Tweet me at VanillaWeb. Do check out the pre-show show if you didn't see it. It is great fun. It's on my Facebook page, Paul Andrews. Do check that out. Lovingly filled by Bird, who's the director, producer, and camera woman behind it.
Everything.
Does everything, really.
All singing, all dancing.
Absolutely. So thank you so much for being with us for another Business Bunker show, and we look forward to joining you again next Tuesday. Have a fabulous week, and we'll see you all soon. Bye for now.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.